Welcome to the Yerba Power Podcast, where we share the power of yerba mate with the world. I'm your host, Devin Wagner, host of the Yerba Power Podcast, and I'm joined by a special person that is I'm privileged to call a friend, that I want to introduce you guys to, because what you don't know is that he actually was a kind of a secret catalyst behind the scenes of kind of getting this podcast started, believe it or not. I've briefly mentioned him, I think, in some posts and stuff, and whether you paid attention or not, but kind of gave me the idea of posting certain topics and also regularly, which led to the podcast, essentially, and then also certain topics on that as well. So I wanted to share him with you guys, the world, but also specifically because he is in Brazil and drinks chimarrão. Make sure I said that right. My Portuguese is obviously not as fine-tuned. And yeah, and kind of getting to share his story with you guys. And we know each other through Dad's Edge Alliance, Googled or whatever. But basically, it's a mentor group, I guess, is peer mentor or mastermind, if anybody's familiar with that term. But basically, a group of authors and trying to do our best there and encourage one another, help each other out. And that's how I first connected with him, because when I saw he was in Brazil, I, you know, was the first person I connected with because of our family relationships of, you know, your wife's Brazilian, my wife's Argentine, and, you know, we kind of just connected over that and living abroad and those kind of things, right? So, well, Carlos, thanks for joining me.
Yes, Devin, thank you for that awesome intro and for having this podcast, man. It's really awesome. As you can see, I'm drinking my, and it's chimarrão, a lot of...
Yeah.
Nose there.
More nasally.
Chimarrão.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm an avid drinker of chimarrão, or chai mate, as they would say in English. Yeah, I live in Brazil. Exactly right. I live in Brazil, originally from Virginia, but I've been living in Brazil since 2009. And I would say I started drinking chimarrão. I'm just going to say chimarrão. It just sounds better to me to say chimarrão, guys. So I hope you don't mind. I would say consistently since 2010. That's me. I guess I should go into how I actually ended up in Brazil. I'll be curious how I ended up here, right?
Yeah. Well, obviously it took you about a year to, I guess, get into it as well. So, maybe that'll be another question. But yeah. So I know the main story, but I guess for those that don't know, you're in Virginia. And then, yeah, ended up in Brazil because, well, I guess let the secret out, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So that's obviously Brazil, but I don't know if you want to go any further than that.
Yeah. So I think we'd like to expand on that. So I'm one of those guys that when I start something, I get really passionate about it, and I'm like, I'm 2 feet in all the time, right? So I started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Well, I like everybody else, they saw the first UFC, which is Royce Gracie, and I was big in the martial arts when I was younger. So I saw Royce Gracie, you know, win the first UFC and the first three or four of them, and of course a scrawny guy beating all these big guys, and I'm like, man, that's cool. You know, there was one Brazilian brown belt at the time in Virginia that was teaching Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I started training with him in 2004. And I loved it. I was hooked. And I was like, you know what? This is something that I can do. And it's definitely a dream of mine to, at the time I was like, man, this is not a really famous thing back in 2004. So I was like, you know, why don't I go to the motherland of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, yeah, which is Brazil, and just train with the best guys over there. And my plan was at the time to, you know, go there, get my black belt, and then eventually come, either it was to come back to the United States and actually open up a school, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school. But that plan got scratched. I met my wife, and now I've been in Brazil since 2009 with 3 kids. So that didn't happen, but no regrets. Definitely still love being here and still train, and don't have a school yet, but I do do teach and other things, and yeah, that's how I got to Brazil. That's my story.
Nice. Yeah. So I guess that was the secret I didn't let everyone know, because basically I have a friend that's a black belt Brazilian jiu-jitsu, so don't mess with me, you know, like it's like I got security, you know. But that's a really cool inspirational story that I definitely wanted people to know. And now that we talked about, it took you about a year to get into it, it sounds like, to drinking it. So how did that happen? How did you start drinking Shimahau, and kind of what did that look like, and what convinced you to drink it in the first place, maybe?
Yeah, sure. So when I first got down here in Brazil in 2009, so I live in a state that's called Santa Catarina, right? And it is, and then so it's a, one of the southern states, and below us is Rio Grande do Sul, and then below that is Argentina, right? And so you, one of the only states that drink Chimarrón consistently is Rio Grande do Sul, right? And we're about 5 or 6 hours away from that border, right? So there's a lot of people that live in Santa Catarina that are from Rio Grande do Sul. They're called gaúchos, which basically means cowboys, right? So there's a lot of those people in the state that I live in. And so when I got here, I noticed, you know, we were driving around, and I was with the locals over here. You know, I was training at a local gym over here, and the locals over here, they're called manezinhos, right? Manezinho de Ilha is what they call themselves. And so that means basically a person from this island. So I live on an island called Florianópolis. It's off the southern coast of Brazil. It's the Hawaii of South America. And so these guys, the manezinhos, they don't drink chimarrão. They don't drink chimarrón, right? Mm. It's the gaúchos that drink them, but there's a lot here that live in this area. And they actually despise them, to be honest with you. They're always kind of like joking them and joking like they drink chimarrón. And I think it's because of a rivalry with the football teams, to be honest with you, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a rivalry between the football teams, which is really big in South America. You can imagine. Mm. I think it's a bigger rivalry than sometimes, you know, actual football teams in the United States, American football. But anyway, so I'm with these local guys, these local manezinho guys, and that's who I was hanging around with, the guys that I trained for the first year. And we were just driving around, and I would see like circles of people, and they would be passing this thing around, you know? And what we call this is, we call this a cuia, right? And so they would be passing it around and have a jug here. And I was just always wondering, I'm like, man, why are these, you know, what do they have in there, right? But all the guys that were with me, they were like, no, don't drink that. That's for the gaúchos. You know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to drink what the gaúchos are drinking, right? And so, you know, basically I was like, I was just very curious for the first year. And then I started to learn the language and, you know, just started getting out of my circle. And so, you know, I met up with some people, some other people that were not from there. They were gaúchos, and I was in their circle. And this is a social thing. People get together with just one of these, fill them up, and just kind of pass them around and talking and just, you know, chit-chatting away, usually on the beach or any, you know, public settings. And so that was the first time. I remember I was at the beach and with some gaúchos, and they were passing this around, and it came to me, and I was like, oh, wow, cool. Yeah, sure, I'll try some. And so I did. And I think ever since then, I was hooked, you know. I was like, man, this, I remember at the time, it was like a, how do they say it? An acquired taste, I guess you can say, because it was very bitter at the time, you know, and you're like, but as I drank it more and then did more research about it and reading more about it. And so this was like in, you know, 2009 and 2010. And I don't think they had chai mate in the United States. So when I came over, it was like my very first introduction to like chai mate, to chimarrón, you know? And so I started reading up on the benefits and all that stuff. I was like, man, this is great. And so I started making it part of my pre-training regimen, you know, before I went into a Brazilian jiu-jitsu class, or before I started training that day, you know, I would start drinking these things. And I just found that it was great, because you don't get that, you get that stimulant, but you don't get that caffeine stimulant where it's like a huge spike and then you get that huge drop, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's when I started drinking it. I just kept on drinking it. And it's funny because all my Manazinho friends, they joke me all the time. They're like, there's no gringos here that drink chimarrão. So they used to call me the local gringo at one time. And all my gaúcho friends that drink this, they call me the gaúcho gringo, right? Because yeah. I'm like the only gringo that drinks chimarrão over here. So it's very interesting. But that's how I got started.
Nice. No, I was curious actually too if it was common in Brazilian jiu-jitsu as kind of like it is in soccer or football, where you see certain players as kind of their pre-ritual. I was curious if it was in that circle with your Brazilian jiu-jitsu friends or colleagues, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, there is, man, one of the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys right now. Matter of fact, he won a big competition just last week. So if you guys are familiar with the UFC, they have what's called the UFC Fight Pass. And so before they start the actual MMA fights, they have what's called the UFC Fight Pass. And they usually have grappling matches, right, before the fights. And so this guy named Nicholas Maragalli, he is from Rio Grande do Sul. He's a gaúcho. And he promotes chimarrão like crazy. Like he'll, if you go to his Instagram or anything like that, he's drinking it. He's drinking it before his match. Instead of drinking water, he's drinking this during training. Right. Yeah. And I tried to do that one time and like everybody there was Manazinho. They're like, no, water here, And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't say like in the jiu-jitsu world, it's as famous as in the soccer world where every, people drink chimarrão and they're openly drinking it. But it is getting really, it is moving along in that area. For sure.
Nicholas, what was his last name?
Magarali. Yeah, it's going to be hard for me to spell that.
I'll look it up. Yeah, well, I'll look it up and put it in the show notes. Yeah, that'd be cool to check out because you'll see a lot of, football players, soccer players, with mate, but you don't see a lot of as much. you'll see a couple pictures randomly of Ronaldo trying it or, like Rolandinho as well, like maybe one or two pictures, but. I've only seen personally a few pictures ever and maybe only two or three players. I don't know if you are familiar because like it's also interesting because you have your own inside being there personally. Maybe it doesn't get publicized as much as I guess social media or whatever else. Like, do you see it more in soccer players down there or specifically in Rio Grande do Sul or I don't know. I'm just curious. Yeah, like chimarrão itself.
Yeah. I do see it a lot. I see people playing soccer here, and they will bring it to the soccer games. Like there's always people drinking chimarrão in any public event. Uh-huh. Thing is, it's a cultural thing, Mm-hmm. So I think that's why they don't advertise it, or they're like, oh look, I drink chimarrão because it's just like it's just something that's been in their family for generations. It's not something like new to them, Whereas like, maybe in the United States where it's kind of new to like, oh, look what I'm drinking and any type of deal. Yeah. This is like almost drinking like a juice or a water or drinking green tea, if you would, it's not really something to show about, but yeah, I'm seeing it more and more here because there is a big, especially where I live at. So Florianópolis is a big tourist area here. Like I said, it's the Hawaii of South America. So there's a lot of people that come here, especially from Rio Grande do Sul. There's a lot of people that come here. So you see it everywhere. And they end up settling here a lot of times. So I am seeing it a lot more often everywhere, everywhere.
I guess my question, reason why, is because I feel like, mate itself gets marketed, I guess, more than chimarrão. Or maybe that's just my own bias because I don't drink it really. And so maybe that's why I don't see it as much. But I definitely, it's definitely getting more promoted in general. So that's kind of, I guess, another reason why I want to have a podcast is to talk about it because I don't think it really does get talked about as much, or at least I don't see it as much in other places. So rewind a little bit, going back to kind of the why you mentioned about a pre-ritual kind of thing, and the caffeine stimulant, let's say, right? So it's without the crash and the jitters and stuff. That's usually a main thing about when we compare it to coffee, let's say, or another energy drink. What other benefits or things do you personally feel like, or do you drink it with your family, like day to day, or is it just by yourself or with friends? Do you kind of incorporate culturally as well? Or
yeah, that's a great question. So my wife is a Manazinha, right? So she's from the island here. She doesn't drink it, right? She finds it funny that I'm always drinking it, right?
Yeah.
But my kids love it, right? And so I let them drink with me. You know, sometimes we'll sit around, or you know, we'll go out and we'll drink together. I usually don't let them drink it, you know, after, you know, usually 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because I like them to wind down their full energy. But in the morning time, we'll drink together and things like that, you know. So they're 8 and 10 and 20. My 20-year-old doesn't drink it at all. She doesn't like it. But my 8 and 10-year-old, they love it.
She's cool. Yeah. No.
Yeah,
her dad.
Yeah. She's, you know, cool. Yeah. She's Marazinha as well too, and so are her friends. So it's like, oh, okay, you know, so it's not her thing. But so some other reasons. So my ritual is definitely I drink it in the morning. I do drink it with my kids. Usually on the weekends, they don't drink it during the day because of school and things like that. It's not really part of their routine. They'll see me drinking that first. Sure. But I'll drink it that, you know, in the morning. And I'll drink it like basically throughout the day. So I work from home. And so I'll drink, this is a liter and a half. So I'll usually drink about 2 of these a day. And some of the things that I really find that I really like about it is, like, I'm big with fasting. I fast daily. I do intermittent fast daily. So it's like an 18 hours fasting, and 6 hours is my eating window. And I try to do at least at least 3 24-hour fasts in a month, right? At least 3 of them. And it's usually on a Monday, on the days that I'm so busy, like, you know, it just gives me a lot of clarity in my mind. And it also helps, you know, with the regulating my weight. And what I find is that when I'm drinking Shimaon, it's known for killing those hunger pains. You know, it's known for just really stopping those hunger pains, you know. And so I drink this throughout the day, especially through my fasting period, you know. So I really found that. Also, something that I found as well too. So, you know, when I was younger, I had a lot of acne. I got called all kind of names in school, as you can imagine. So I had a lot of acne. I had a lot of skin problems with my face and my skin. And being that I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu too, you know, we're rolling around constantly sweating and rolling on mats and stuff like that. So I used to get a lot of blemishes on my face and things like that. But when I started drinking this, when I started drinking Shimaon, things just really cleared up. As you can see, my face is not to brag, but I think my skin is pretty clear right now, you know? And I don't know if it's, you know, I think it's because of the liquid. You know, I'm constantly drinking, so that's 3 liters at least per day that I'm drinking every single day, including the water and everything like that. So it's like, it's, you know, as you guys know, if you guys drink Shimaon or Chai Mate, you're constantly using the bathroom, so you're constantly, you know, getting rid of that bad liquid. And I think that has something to do why my skin is so clear, to be honest with you. So that's definitely something, you know, those benefits. It definitely helps me with, you know, my fasting. I think it definitely helps me with, you know, the clarity of my skin and just really the clarity of my mind. You know, it just really helps me think and really get focused. And it doesn't have that spike, like I said earlier. You know, it's just this constant energy throughout the day. And there's some days where I don't drink it, and you don't have that caffeine crash. You know, it's not like, oh my God, where am I gonna get some Shimaon from? If you drink coffee or caffeine, it's like, I gotta get coffee. Where am I gonna get that coffee from? It's not even like that, you know. So that's why I drink it. That's why I love it. You know, that's why I make it part of my daily rituals. And just making it itself, you know, it's one thing when you go and you buy a can or something like that, you crack it open and you just sip it. But like in the morning, you know, you're heating up the water. You break out the kuya, I break out the actual herbs and put it in the cup, you know, and put it in the kuya. And then I push everything to the side and you pour the water in there. You let it sit. It's like a ritual, you know, almost. And I enjoy that, you know.
No, that's two really, really great points. And something I don't know that anyone's actually touched on just yet that I, since I've done this with clarity of skin, you know, and that's a really interesting thing to talk about because, I'll say just my own fun story. I guess my wife will brag about that too because people ask, "Oh, you look so young." It's like, well, it's not that, you know, like that's what her you know, kind of joke. But in a sense, I mean, the same thing too. I didn't have terrible acne, but yeah, I'm not saying like I'm, you know, some kind of, you know, model or anything either, but I do feel that it does help with, you know, that and clarity of skin and, just hydrated as well, obviously, you know, feeling better. But it's interesting, you know, like, you know, fountain of youth or whatever. Right. And the ritual for sure. I definitely want to touch on that. We've talked about this before, but just as an encouragement to those that maybe are just now listening for the first time, definitely that ritual is part of the whole thing, the process of preparing it and everything. And that is really like, it's different than a habit, I guess. And I've talked about this before. I don't know if this relates to you in any way, but now it's helped me put kind of like meaning or words to, you know, because I'm over 500 days sober now from alcohol, and it wasn't that, but now that it helps you see that ritual for other people as well, is it's a replacement, a healthy replacement for a negative substance, let's say. In the fact of it's not even so much the mate itself or the shimajao itself, it's literally that preparing it is most of the, I don't want to say addiction, but it's the replacement, you know, a healthy ritual habit kind of thing, right? It's not the habit itself of drinking. So just very cool stuff. And there's a later episode for you guys listening, if you do want to check that out, actually about that with a organization in Colorado about, they are literally helping former addicts by giving them yerba mate, which sounds so big, but it really is something that simple of replacing drug paraphernalia with the utensils, like I should say. And it's crazy that it's that simple, but yet that profound.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Devin, because, and first of all, I just want to congratulate you on the 500 days sober. I'm huge on sobriety, so I think I'm going on 6 years. I lost the date, but I've been sober for over 6 years. And
yeah. Congratulations as well to you. Yeah, that's a huge step. And so anyone listening, you know, you're not alone. So
yeah, you're not alone. And I would say that, you know, like what I found out with sobriety, and I'm going to put my plug in here, but I am a coach. Yeah. And so my specialty is like, I really like helping men. I'm really big on sobriety. So I help men become sober, right? Because I think that's the best way you can show up 100% is to be sober. Mm-hmm. And that's really you authentically. And so what I found out is that when you drop something like a vice, whether that be drugs, alcohol, whatever, there's a void there that needs to be filled. If you don't fill that void, you're going to fill it up with either that vice that you had, that's why things come back, or, you know, you're going to fill it up with something else, maybe negative, right? And I think this was a real good replacement for me, because when I was drinking this before, but then I got rid of just completely not drinking any more alcohol. And of course, this came, I was already drinking, but it came more so, you know, like I could even, you know, it's not common to go to like a bar or a scene outside. Everyone's drinking beers, and I pull up with my kuya and I'm drinking a shimajao. And this helps a lot, right? Because you have something in your hand. But, you know, I'm really comfortable now with my sobriety, where I can be around people that are drinking and I don't even need anything in my hand. But in the beginning, this really helped because I would be able to go to social settings. And a lot of people drink in these social settings because they feel a little bit loose when drinking, and they just, you know, they're able to let go. Well, what I found out was like, I can go in there with this, you know, and it's the same thing. You know, you start drinking this and you have that feeling that, you know, you have something in hand, just that motion, and you're drinking, it gives you that stimulant, and it's like, you know, you're talking to everybody. you know, you're being really social. Because my thing was I couldn't be in a social setting without being drunk. And I knew that was a problem, you know. So this, like you said, this is a great thing to fill that void if you're trying to quit something else, a healthy thing to fill that void if you're trying to quit drinking or something like that,
right? No, that's awesome. And it helps to put, I guess, even more clarity on the words of, like, yeah, just literally having something in your hand. As crazy as that sounds, but that is a lot of times you just feel like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I'm in this social setting and I don't know what to do. It's like, you need something to, like, essentially almost an excuse to why you're there or what you're doing, or like, oh, well, I can't drink. I'm drinking this, or I'm on antibiotics, or make up something. But now you have proof too. And it's a thing to bring out socially as well. I think that's the other thing too, eliminating the social anxiety, I guess you could say, of needing to hold something, needing to be doing something. And also, let's face it, the stimulant does make you feel more wanting to talk, a little more energetic, a little more happy, I guess you could say, more gregarious or whatever. And obviously, it's going to be a topic of conversation if you're anywhere else out, you know, at the summer out, right? So automatically going to open a door to be able to talk to someone, right? So, and that's what it's used for, obviously, in South America anyways. It is a conversational piece itself, you know. It's not so much drinking it. It's about literally getting friends together, and that's the excuse. It's just that thing in your hand, essentially. So really cool. Well, I want to honor your time and also give you the space. So just to throw that up there, yeah, as a coach, guys, he coaches me personally, so it's someone that I trust and would recommend to you guys as well. So it's not, don't want you to try to cloak and dagger here or anything. So it's definitely, I'm putting my reputation on the line as well. But anything else that you want to share with the listeners? Anything at all about what you're doing or websites or anything else that you want to point them to?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I just want to thank you for having me here. I enjoy talking about this, as, you know, I'm passionate about it. Definitely love drinking it. It's done a lot for me. And, you know, I am a coach. I am a life coach, and I specifically coach men. And this is a big thing for me. Devin knows every time I'm on a call, I'm sipping this, I'm drinking it, you know, I'm thinking, and we're just having a conversation. And so this is a big part of, you know, what I do as well too, is drinking this. But yeah, if you guys want to find me, I am definitely online. The places would be Facebook, and you would just search for my name, Carlos Berganti. My Instagram handle is at Carlos Berganti. Check those out. I don't do any content on Shimahon. Maybe I should, but most of my content is, you know, about men's issues, things we go through as men, parenting, you know, being a husband and a father. So, you know, check that out for sure.
And I'll those listening, I'll put it all down, you know, in the show notes and everything for you guys. And if you're listening as well, I plan to put this video up on YouTube. I've just got them once I get it up there, so it might be a little week delayed or something, but it should be up by the time you're listening to this. And other than that, thank you so much, Carlos, for your time, and hope to have you back on another. Maybe we can go deeper into some of the athletic kind of performance stuff, because that's something personally I'm interested in, that as a runner, I guess you guys know, but definitely how that impacts in my life. But I want to hear from other people as well, and especially because you're in a unique sport that I think would be very interesting to find more about that, you know, especially this Nicholas guy. Maybe we can get him on podcast sometime. I don't know if he speaks in English.
No, he actually lives in the United States now. He's he lives in Texas, so he's over there.
Okay.
I just want to throw this out there. If anybody wants to come to Brazil, see the Hawaii of South America, Florianopolis, look me up. I'll be happy to host you guys over here. We'll drink Shimahon together.
Well, yeah, I'm long overdue anyway. So yeah, hopefully maybe bring a whole crew. We'll start a tour or something. Get us something, because I've been meaning to get down there. So thanks, Carlos. Talk to you later.
Ciao.